You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up? It is the Sports Live on a Tuesday. Going to have a good show today because we've got ourselves an official new kickoff rule in the NFL. We'll talk about that as our second topic today. NFL owners meetings continue to be underway in Orlando, Florida. So this morning they're up and at it early Eastern time, approving a new kickoff rule for the league. And so we'll dive into what that means. We thumbs up, thumbs down on that. We'll explain what the new kickoff structure is going to be in the NFL. But we'll lead off with a Titans conversation about three underachievers from the previous coaching staff that have brand new life under Brian Callahan, and which of these three is most likely to have a legitimate impact on this Titans team in 2024, where if they don't take advantage of this extra life they got in this video game with the NFL, then they might not be around for much longer. So we're going to have a good conversation. NFL owners meetings content is flowing again. So we'll see what today brings for tomorrow's content. We're going to have a great show here on this Tuesday. And as always, to wrap up our Tuesday shows, we've got Throwing Shade. And Zach, airport travel for me means airport shade to follow. So I've got airport shade again. That's always a fun one. I think a lot of people can relate to airport shade. So Throwing Shade to wrap up this Tuesday. Here we go.
I'm glad you have airport shade because I have an airport Curb Your Enthusiasm concept.
Oh, nice.
That I think will work and did work perfectly to a degree. So I will dive into that. I've got shade. Everybody else has shade, so get that ready in the comments. We are broadcasting live on three different platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. We will tweet out segment by segment, link by link, our YouTube link, and that's the easiest way to view and interact with this show. So follow us on Twitter at A to Z Sports, a great follow there. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. We are on the road to 20K. We're at like 17.1 or 2, trying to get up to 20K. You guys can help us out by subscribing to our YouTube channel. And then if you've already subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure that you like this video. It helps circulate the video within the algorithm. And then on top of that, you can not only like this video, but also ring the bell. When you ring the bell, you get live alerts. And the live alerts mean that when we go live, you know when we go live. And there's valuable information to there. Also, Facebook. What's going on? Facebookers, bottom left corner of your screen. Share, share, now to public. Sharing is caring, and caring is sharing, as we say on this show. Share the show around, and we will get this thing started on a Tuesday.
Yep, let's get it going officially. Welcome into A to Z Sports, powered as always by the BetMGM app. I'm Austin Stanley. He is Zach Bingham, and we are Nashville's on-demand sports talk network, going live weekday mornings at 8 Central Time on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links to the show segment by segment on our Twitter X timeline. Also, hit us up on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads for more great Titans content. We got to thank our sponsors because they make it happen for us, and they help out all of you, like Wilson County Hyundai. Make Wilson County Hyundai a part of your new car buying process by seeing them in Lebanon or online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. The Bone and Joint Institute, boneandjointtn.org, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. Farm Bureau Health Plans, get better with Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhp.com/ATOZ. And Krebs Kubota, an elite Kubota dealer with three great locations across the mid-state in Columbia, Franklin, and in Murfreesboro. They are online at krebskubota.com. Zach, we're going to get into the officially new kickoff rule in the NFL. So we'll get to that later on in the show, but that is the newest update as far as the NFL owners meetings that are going on in Orlando right now. There's a lot of details through that. I just see from Paul Kaharsky, the Titans did vote to approve the new kickoff rule. So I don't know what the split is on how many of the 32 owners voted yes or no, but the Titans were on the that side of the vote there. So we'll discuss that and what that means. I think the NFL kickoff is going to be something where you don't just look forward to a touchback and first and 10 from the 25-yard line anymore. So we'll dive into that. But the Titans obviously have a new coaching staff with Brian Callahan. There's a lot of turnover with this roster. We've watched a lot of pretty big name, highly paid free agents get signed to this roster. But there's guys on the roster that have opportunities for new life under this new coaching staff and under the new philosophy that is going to be a more pass first, run second type offense that the Titans have not been used to. And so I think three guys have really come to the forefront on conversations that Brian Callahan had with media at owners' meetings yesterday. And we'll start it off at the wide receiver position as Jim Wyatt caught up with Titans head coach Brian Callahan and talked about two wide receivers in this video, Kyle Phillips and free agent returning player Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Excited to see what Kyle can do. Obviously he's had the injury bugs hit him a little bit. I liked him coming out of college. I thought he had a chance to be a good slot style player. So I'm excited to see what he brings. And then Nick's earned his way. His journey has been impressive, what he's done and how he's done it. And there's value in guys that can go plug in places like he has. I've always liked his ability to run routes. I thought he's been a productive player. And so for those types of guys, we can find roles for. You know what I mean? I think it's a good group. I think we've made it a pretty robust receiver room that's got a lot of opportunities that are going to come their way, I think.
So a lot of opportunity to come that way in a robust wide receiver room, which is something that has never been used to describe Titans receivers, robust. But, I think it looks very different once you add Calvin Ridley to go along with DeAndre Hopkins at the top. And then Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips are very much boom or bust players to this extent. And then NWI is kind of a glue piece there. But, Zach, what's your opinion and thoughts on what you heard from Brian Callahan on Kyle Phillips and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine?
Well, Kyle Phillips, hit with the injury bugs. He said that twice, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. He's been hit with the injury bug more than twice, whether it's concussions, hamstrings, just not playing well. I think you throw that in the special teams unit, and we can kind of dive in more to that. For NWI has been thrown into a position number of times that – he's probably not physically suited for, right? Like he's playing, wide receiver one and two, and he's really probably wide receiver four or five. And that's the position he needs to play. Now, the positive thing, and maybe this is why they signed him, is that he's going to be in that position, at least initially, where he needs to be, where I think he can catch defenses by surprise. He runs good routes. He has good vertical stretch ability, right? We've seen that with his seam routes and down the middle throws from Ryan Tannehill at times. Can he be put in the position to thrive? And I think Kyle Phillips is one of those that hoping, wishing, praying, and it just hadn't come to fruition yet.
Yeah.
And maybe a new offensive scheme with new weapons. It's kind of the same thing. They lumped, and Brian Callahan lumped NWI and Kyle Phillips into the same conversation. I kind of agree with that because those are the guys that they don't need to be full-time starters. Officially, Kyle Phillips is not Wes Welker, okay? The dream was dead early on. After the Giants game week one, right, when he had a really good game, nothing else happened. Can this new offense get the most out of Kyle Phillips' ability? That's going to be the task of Brian Callahan and the task of this offense and the task of Will Levis to be that kind of – and I look at Kyle Phillips as like a drag router. Can he run drag routes where – read one, two, and three are done, or you find some open in the defense where Kyle Phillips can kind of maneuver and catch and get 7-8 yards at a time. But mm-hmm. he's not going to be the player that we once thought he was drafted to be. And that's okay.
Well, I mean, the fact that Brian Callahan said, I liked him coming out of the draft and think he had the ability to become a legitimate slot weapon in this league.
A lot of people liked him coming out of the draft. We all loved him coming out of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, as a fifth round pick, right? Like, and you know, but I think it's interesting that we've heard Brian Callahan's thoughts on two young Titans players coming out of the draft that had some position specifics, right? That he liked Peter Skoronski. He's on record on a podcast saying, yeah, I think the best offensive lineman in the draft is the kid from Northwestern who's a guard, right? So, okay, that settles the, is Peter Skoronski a left tackle or is he a left guard? He's a left guard because Brian Callahan said it a year ago as the Bengals offensive coordinator before the draft. Now he says again, hey, yeah, I liked him coming out of college. I think he had the good chance to be a good slot weapon in the NFL. We'll see how Brian Callahan in his modern offense can utilize Kyle Phillips, who has looked really good in training camp and in practices, and you start to see things start to gain momentum before an injury occurs. So that is one of the underachievers of Kyle Phillips. And comments from Brian Callahan on a couple other underachievers. Next, second-round pick Dylan Radins. This comment from Brian Callahan via Paul Kaharsky. Quote, I see Radins starting off as a guard, Callahan said. Not that he can't play anywhere else, but we wanted to give him a place to start out, and his best chance to help us is going to be starting out inside. If we need to bump him out, we will. He's done both. He's got flex, which I think is important, but I see him starting out inside. So that's Dylan Radins, former second-round pick, going into a contract year, his fourth year in the NFL, starting out as a guard for Brian Callahan's offense, and then going to where's the right tackle on this draft? This is from Brian Callahan via Paul Kaharsky. Again, asked Callahan about the team's right tackle is on the roster at this point. Quote, there are some guys who I think played well for us that are young and need development is probably the best way to put it. Between Jalen Duncan and NPF, those guys have some skills. They need some development. They're going to compete. We might end up adding a tackle in the draft. We might end up adding another tackle later. So you got two guys who could play right tackle that are going to compete. You might add multiple draft tackles and maybe a free agent tackle later. Zach, you gave that one a golf clap. Why?
Well, because I want will. we will add a tackle in the draft, preferably with the 7th overall pick, or if you trade up, I don't care. But
that's not about the right tackle. That's the left tackle, most likely in the draft. We're talking about right tackle. NPF.
Well, tackle, right? They need tackles. And
yes,
I think. Look, I would agree with Brian Callahan's assessment. Right. I think that's refreshing to hear. Is, and like I've talked about this weeks ago, it is exhausting talking about these guys that you're trying to get more out of that you thought were going to be a lot better than they actually are. And they all have issues, right? And, you know, like, can't show your cards there, Zach. Oh, let's see, Jared, you know, can't show your cards there. I get that. But at the same time, everybody and their mother should expect the Titans to draft a tackle, depending on how the draft goes, right? I mean, we weird things happen in the draft. Quarterbacks are taken at weird spots. We all know that. But it's exhausting, you know, hoping and wishing and praying about Dylan Radins, about Kyle Phillips, about NPF. I think we all can share that sentiment. And NPF got himself in a little betting, gambling trouble, right? He got punished mm-hmm. for that. He came back. Then he got injured, right? And then he was out. And so you don't know. And I think the hard part about NPF, kind of on that topic real quick, is he showed some really good, solid, stable fundamentals as a rookie and then dropped off and then had his little fiasco that I just referenced. Like, where does he sit now? The same thing kind of goes for Radins. Didn't get the start and the solid stability that we thought now this is where he's at. He's a flex guy on the offensive line. I agree he's an interior guy more than an exterior guy. And then Kyle Phillips in the same group. So the good part, Austin, is we are aligned with what we have seen with what Brian Callahan is saying based on what he has seen, right? So I like all – also, he's already talking we, right? He's the head coach. Well, yeah, it's not last year, those guys, or they. It's we. So I noticed that, Callie. Yeah. I like that. I appreciate the all-in mentality. But those are the three guys, and I think this kind of brings up the topic that we're showcasing this morning is, man, underachievers, can you get anything out of them? Or can you really elevate them to be a solid starter and play very adequate for a full season? So we're scratching our head to say, man, he played. It's tough to not re-sign him or think about re-signing him, because a lot of contracts are coming up with these guys.
Yeah. So let's get into the question today. Which of these three Titans underachievers do you think has the best chance to make an impact under the new regime? Which of these three Titans underachievers have the best chance to make an impact under Brian Callahan's regime? Wide receiver Kyle Phillips, guard on the offensive line Dylan Raidens, or maybe the right tackle Nicholas Petit-Frere? Which of these three underachieving Titans has the best chance to make an impact? We'll get to that here momentarily. But first, I do want to tell everybody about the food that I got in my fridge, and that is from Factor Meals, factormeals.com/ATOZ50. I got that link in the description on Facebook and YouTube right in here this morning, because you can get 50% off your first box with Factor by using our link and our code. That link, factormeals.com/ATOZ50, with the code ATOZ50 for 50% off. I used this. Factor sent me some meals to test and to sample, to talk about. I liked it so much. My wife liked it so much. We ordered it and used our code. So I got 50% off of my first order after they gave us free stuff to test out. So it's that good. Like, I spent my own money on it because I liked it that much. It's convenient. It helps us save money and time when it comes to only having 9 minutes to heat up in the oven for this. They got enchilada bowls. They've got all types of different pasta recipes. You can learn new recipes to try on your own. It's so easy. All it is putting it in the oven for 9 minutes or the microwave for 2 minutes to have restaurant quality nutritional meals fast and ready for you and your busy lifestyle to save time, save money. Don't order the delivery service. It's going to have an upcharge or something crazy right on those apps. Go to factormeals.com/ATOZ50 and use our code ATOZ50 to get 50% off your first box. That's with factormeals.com/ATOZ50.
A2Z Sports powered by BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app today. Use the bonus code ATOZ Sports. They're the king of the sports book right there. You see BetMGM. You need to download BetMGM. You got the Sweet 16, the Elite, a little women's ball last night. You saw Caitlin Clark. You saw UConn sit there and beat Syracuse. I was watching a little women's hoops last night. A little NBA action as well. You can get in on the action by downloading the BetMGM app today.
All right, so which Titans underachiever could have new life under Brian Callahan? Kyle Phillips, Nicholas Petit-Frere, or Dylan Raidens? Dylan Raidens is starting out as a guard. Nicholas Petit-Frere listed as one of the options that could be the right tackle. And then Kyle Phillips, who Brian Callahan liked coming out of college. Zach, I will send you to the chat. What are the people saying here?
Yep, scrolling back up. We've got some good comments coming in. And a plethora of comments. Let's start with Kyle Phillips with Duran. You got Eric Kyle Phillips. Kyle Phillips, I think, from Titans Kyle. So Kyle on Kyle crime right there. Raidens from Roy. Raidens from Jay. NPF there from Dre. Probably Raidens from IR. Kyle Phillips from DeMarco. Nick goes Raidens. Dylan Raidens, no doubt. Here's a little word of the wise. The way Dylan Raiden spells his name is a great way to not be called Dylon. So there's a little fun fact right there. NPF, no question, from Titan Up Ohio. Kyle Phillips, Jared right there. Clayton. He's going Raiden's. Corey's going Kyle. NPF from Maven. Raiden's from Buck's burner account. Phillips from Raz Biggie. Anthony goes NPF. NPF by a wide margin from Malachi. Dylan Raiden's from Rashid. Phillips from Sky. I mean, Austin, I think this is a pretty damn good question because you got Raiden's, yeah. You got NPF, and you got Phillips peppered all over the board. Here's a string of NPFs, though, so let's not ignore that. Billy, John, Paul, Assad, Jason, Jonathan, Deborah, Sin City, Jermel, a huge run on NPF as he takes the lead in this poll as we were kind of back and forth there. So NPF, strong performance there. Jaren goes Kyle Phillips. So all over the board. This is a good question. You got three guys to pick from, Austin. Who do you select as these underachievers maybe bringing new life to the Titans and their own career? Kyle Phillips, NPF, or Dylan Raiden's?
I do not think Nicholas Petit-Frere should be the right tackle of this team's future. I don't think he's got that high of a ceiling. I know he played a lot as a rookie. I don't think he played really well. I think a lot of his problems got covered up by Dennis Daly being the left tackle. Nicholas Petit-Frere, not a very good player, in my opinion. And I was low on him going into last season, even before his suspension. So I'm eliminating NPF.
Full line of work, right, from first snap to where we are now.
Yes, yes. I'm going to go with Kyle Phillips. I think Kyle Phillips is the best and most skilled player in this group of three. I think Kyle Phillips could actually be utilized in a way that Mike Vrabel didn't know what to do with him. I don't know why John Robinson drafted Kyle Phillips with Mike Vrabel as his head coach. It seemed like square peg, round hole type of thing, but it happened. And I think Kyle Phillips is a good player. I think he can get open. I think he catches the football well. Can he stay healthy? Can he add weight, keep the weight, stay on the football field? All this stuff, that's to be seen. But we've seen when he's healthy, he can be good. I think he's going to actually get coaching as a return special teams guy, unlike what he wasn't getting from Craig Aukerman. And I know that, you know, Craig Aukerman was more like, hey, just go catch the ball. Go catch the punt. And, like, that was his extent of punt return coaching for Kyle Phillips. Yeah, just go catch it. Come on. Like, that's not how you coach. Like, there's techniques to things. And Kyle Phillips was not getting that. Why did the Titans have so many different guys dropping punts under Craig Aukerman? Maybe because he wasn't coaching it very well. Because it was like five different guys that were muffing punts under Aukerman. So you had something about that.
Yeah, I do. Because I think here's the problem that you may be right. The coaching may not
I am right. Based on some information, I am right.
Here's the problem, though. That's not going away. Kyle Phillips will always remember those muff punts. Every single time he's doing this. And that's a mental thing that I don't think you ever get over, ever. I think
you can.
Especially as a young player trying to scrap and claw, trying to do probably too much to, you know, because he knows his career hasn't worked out the way that he originally thought when he took off the UCLA cap and put on a two-tone blue cap. Like, I also think there's some mental game to that. And opportunity also comes into the mix. I don't know what the opportunity is going to be for Kyle Phillips returning punts. I'm always the type of guy when it comes to returning punts, you can go find somebody else. Like, those guys are expendable. Like, very rarely do you find Dante Hall throwing up in the end zone. So those guys are expendable. They always will be. They always have been. So
I mean, you can go look. I think coaching is so much a part of the mental aspect. It was not happening with the previous special teams coach, which led to
the muff punts will linger, and that's concerning to a guy or to a team. Let's just say that cannot have those unforced errors.
Look, I read a story, not to get too far off track, and you go read on your own time. I read a story from Mike Wilson, who covers the Tennessee Vols from the Knox News Sentinel. Dalton Kinect went 4-for-4 at the free throw line to ice that game to go to the Sweet 16 against Texas. In February, he was struggling with free throws. Rick Barnes pulled him aside and taught him something simple about the about shooting free throws. It's all about the mental aspect of it. And since then, Dalton Connects fixed his mental issues with free throws, and he knocked four in a row in the last 10 seconds to help Tennessee get to the Sweet 16. It can be fixed because of coaching. Coaching is all about that. That's a mental, you're shaking your head smiling at that, but that's kind of a comparable situation.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're...
Is it not?
Yeah, you got a role player and the star player. Like,
I don't care.
The mental fortitude. No, you should care because Dalton Connect can drop 30 in a game. Kyle Phillips has no ability to drop 30.
That's not the point.
That's why I don't think that the points make sense.
The point is there's
always care. And I don't even know what the opportunity he'll get. I'm okay to move on as far as punt return and go find somebody else.
And that wasn't like, look, I probably shouldn't even brought up punt return with Kyle Phillips because I knew it would get into a spinning wheels conversation. But anyway, I think Kyle Phillips is the best offensive player of these three that we're talking about between Phillips, Dylan Radins, and NPF. I think he's got the highest skill set of the three. And in Brian Callahan's offense, I think he will be utilized the better way. That is what I think.
Here's my question about Kyle Phillips. Let's put punt return aside. What impact or opportunity do you think he'll have as a wide receiver within the offense? And this is hard to answer for you. I'll just kind of give you credit. It's March 26th. We don't know who they're going to draft, right? So you got Calvin Ridley, you got DeAndre Hopkins. Those two guys must be on the field. You got Treylon Burks, who you want to work out much more than Kyle Phillips. He needs to be on the field. Chig needs to be on the field. Now you got Tony Pollard. He needs to be on the field. At times, Tajay Spears, he needs to be on the field. Where is NWI? You just signed him. NWI is giving you more productivity than Kyle Phillips. He probably needs to be on the field a little bit. Where is Kyle Phillips within this offense as a wide receiver?
I think the Titans are going to be playing more three wide receiver, four wide receiver sets this year than they have the entire Mike Vrabel regime combined. And so I think he's got a home here because is Treylon Burks a slot receiver? I mean, some people think he can do some like big slot things.
I think they're gonna try to figure that out.
I think Treylon Burks can run a slot fade. Outside of that, he's not doing a lot of choice routes or circle routes or quick cutting things or reading zones and finding the hole, sitting in the soft spot. That's what Kyle Phillips does.
I know. I don't disagree with you there. This is what I think they're gonna do with Treylon Burks. It's probably for another show, but they are going to try to find mismatches for Treylon Burks, right? That is going to now be his whole thing is how do you put Treylon Burks in a situation where he's on a slower linebacker across the middle, right?
Yeah, but yes, to the people that have, Treylon Burks was a stud in college playing in the slot, like Patrick just said. Yes, but the Arkansas offense under then Kendall Briles was throw Treylon Burks a bubble screen from the slot or have him run a go route from the slot. That was the offense. That is what his route tree was about 70% of the time. And that's not what the NFL thrives on with slot. That's college offense. And there's some of that aspect in the NFL, but not that much. And so I think Kyle Phillips is your second slot guy, probably after DeAndre Hopkins to an extent, if you're having three wideouts on the field. So I think you have some opportunities there. But I think Kyle Phillips has a role in this because he gets open fast. There was a comment from Brian Callahan earlier in this offseason, I believe from the combine, where he was asked about, why do you draft at times wide receiver over offensive line? And his answer was, because if you get open fast, you throw fast. If you can't get open fast, you can't throw fast. There's nothing about Treylon Burks that's getting open fast. Kyle Phillips can, Burks can't. D-Hop can get open fast. So can Ridley. So who can get open fast? Kyle Phillips can. That's where his role's at.
All right, I'm going to make my selection, but first going to tell everybody about Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans of Tennessee has helped me. It can help you all across the state of Tennessee. They got multiple locations, 200-plus locations across the state. Health, dental, and vision. They've been in business over 75 years, and it's very simple. You have a current health plan, right? So your current health plan, now you look at it and you say, what would an improved health plan be? Well, how do I go about that? You go to fbhp.com/A to Z. You take a health assessment, you get a quote, and you make a decision. It's as simple as that. You make a decision and you don't have to do it, but you can compare like I did. I saved 20% and got a better plan. That's Farm Bureau Health Plans of Tennessee, fbhp.com/ATOZ.
The tournament keeps rolling later this week. It's a great time to jump on with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Use our bonus code ATOZ Sports. That's ATOZ Sports when you sign up and get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if that first bet misses. So go big with it because it's okay. You get a second shot at it with our bonus code ATOZ Sports. There's also so many different ways that BetMGM can take your tournament play further. They've got the fast break game you can play every day to win tokens and odds boosts and bonus bets. They've got all types of other March matchups boosts for you, as well as this weekend's slate of games approaches. So once again, sign up if you haven't yet with our bonus code ATOZ Sports. You get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 or older, Tennessee only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification, eligible comments. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued, knowledgeable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days. And for problem game sport, call Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. The question here is, which of these three Titans underachievers have the best chance to make an impact under Brian Callahan? My answer was Kyle Phillips. The other two options that we floated out here today, Dylan Raiden starting off his Callahan regime at guard on the offensive line, or Nicholas Petit-Frere, who Brian Callahan mentioned yesterday at owner's meetings as an option at right tackle. Zach, what is your answer?
I'm going to go with that opportunity, and I'm going to agree with the chat and go with NPF. I think that he'll have more opportunity to prove himself that he is not an underachiever. Now, he may end up being. This is a tough question, right? You got three guys you really don't want. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, you would rather be able to replace him by addition.
Correct. Yeah. And I think in the tackle and the offensive line situation, interior, I think you got a center, you got guards, right? I mean, that's pretty much set. I believe that they will and should and have to and must draft a long-term left tackle. So now that kind of leaves you your right side as – you can't fill every single hole with all the holes that you had going into this offseason. But that was just not going to be the case at the offensive line. So I think NPF is going to get an opportunity at right tackle. He's played it before. He's going to have to play a lot better. I think you've got King VC in there in the super chat bringing up Bill Callahan, Brian Callahan's father, who's now on the staff. Bill Callahan, who we all remember losing Super Bowl 37 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers San Diego in Qualcomm Stadium yesterday. Yep. We all remember that. But Bill, you know, they've got high hopes for Bill coaching these guys up, right? A group that has been bad over the last number of seasons. And so I think he's going to get the most opportunity to prove his worth and his value. And you hope that the improved line overall, no longer being injured, no longer gambling on company time, will help NPF get closer to where maybe originally Mike Vrabel and this collective thought he could be.
All right, so NPF, remember, had to have a season-ending shoulder surgery after the London game. He came back from his gambling suspension early after four games, didn't play in the fifth week, played against the Ravens in London, kind of came in and out of the lineup, wasn't good, rusty, all that stuff, hurt his shoulder, back to the shelf for the rest of the year. I just felt like after NPF's suspension came down, watching him throughout training camp, knowing what he did to hurt the team, kind of broke him a little bit. Like
the same way that I feel like Kyle Phillips was broken by those muff punts.
I think Kyle Phillips was more. No, look, it's funny. Ha ha. Yes. But I think There was a time in the season, Sam did a Titans at Two show about this, where Kyle Phillips kept being a healthy scratch towards the end of the season. And there were questions, hey, why to Vrabel? Why is Phillips not playing? It's like, well, he's got to do more than just be third down guy. And Kyle Phillips was asked, hey, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. I'm trying to do more. I'm trying to do more of this stuff. And it felt like he didn't have any answers on what he could do. And so I think NPF, I felt, was more long-term broken. His spirits were just different. He kind of felt like he was moping around during training camp because he was getting third team reps.
Right. But that won't be the case now. And I think that actually plays a part into the optimism that you're trying to have with this particular player. Is this year's going to be different because I think he's going to get more opportunity where Kyle Phillips is going to get less opportunity. Raiden's is going to probably be about the same. He's going to be a flex guy. They've already been said. So NPF is going to go into training camp, I think, in a much different headspace and actual real space of what he's actually doing to help the team, which I think can help him. Now, his skill set will ultimately win or lose him the job. Sure. But that I think I could spin that a little bit because I don't probably disagree. Man, he was playing big-time minutes as a rookie, and now you mess up, you do something bad, you need to bounce back, but you don't have the ability to bounce back. And a young guy like that, a second-year player, needs training camp, right? They need that practice and they need that rep. And now he's third team. He probably is a little bit of a mental case. That won't be the case this year, I don't think.
Yeah, but Nate's Burner says it didn't break Ridley. He came back after a year and a half off and put up 1K and eight touchdowns, right? Like, so it's
little apples and oranges there.
How?
The type of player they are. Let's start with how. Calvin Ridley is a first-round draft pick that already had 10 touchdowns in a single year and had like 1,300 yards. NPF had never realized any of that sort of success, and he's still trying to gain that as a third-round pick. So the actual player and makeup impacts the performance.
All right, and if you have a mental makeup to where a six-game suspension breaks you and you are now awful in training.
He got hurt.
Yeah, but he was bad. He was bad his rookie year. He just got covered up by other worse things. He was not good as a rookie.
He was average his first like 5 to 7 games. Then he turned bad. I don't disagree with you, but and you probably are categorizing that entire season because the bad was really bad towards the end of the season. But he was, as a rookie third round pick playing right tackle, he was average to maybe even slightly a hair above average for about 4 to 6 weeks. So we've seen a little bit from him. He wasn't disastrous the whole year, and we can agree on that. I don't think you disagree.
I just think that, look, both players messed up. Calvin Ridley came back and thrived and got a big contract. Yeah, he's a better player.
He's a better player. He can thrive.
Yes, but Nicholas Petit-Frere was like head down kicking sticks as he's walking around like moping. Like that's
because he's
that's,
a third round pick.
He's a top 75 pick. That's
he's not a top. When was Calvin really drafted?
18th overall.
Yeah, and he's not a top 20 pick. Like
a top 75 pick should not be mentally broken like that.
Austin, you can compare Dalton Kincaid to a guy like Calvin Ridley because those guys are kind of on the same playing level as far as sport and being able to break out and impact the game. You cannot compare really good, like above, almost below elite players to trash guys that we're talking about as underachievers and trying to find new life. Those, you can't compare the two.
My point is, I don't think Nicholas Petit-Frere is mentally tough enough to fight through more adversity because he let that suspension get to him hard.
And I think Kyle Phillips let those muff punts get to him hard.
I'm not talking about that. I think, yeah, for sure he did, and that lingered. And bad coaching helped that remain there. And they fired
Titans had some bad coaching too, at offensive line. right? They got a new offensive line coach to come in there and help. They didn't retain the old one. Like,
I just,
the offensive line was worse than the special teams, and the special teams was bad. Austin, you talk about coaching of the position. The offensive line was one of the worst position groups and worst coach groups. They should have fired the offensive line coach midseason too. So, like, well, there you go. NPF wasn't getting coached up. He wasn't getting help.
Well, they had already fired Keith Carter in the, you know, the next O-line coach clearly wasn't doing much better. But look, I think as far as Nicholas Petit-Frere, I am a doubter officially of NPF as a starting tackle in this league.
I knew what answer you're, and you didn't tell me. We don't disclose that stuff. I knew you're going to go Kyle Phillips because of that, like, 3.5 week period when you were covering training camp, when Tannehill was throwing dimes to Kyle Phillips in training camp. And I remember you coming back glowing. So you have seen something from Kyle Phillips in practice for a period of time that no one else has seen in the games. And that's why I believe you believe.
Well, I saw nobody be able to guard him in August. And then I saw nobody in the New York Giants being able to guard him in that game in week one and him do a good job of setting up what should have been a game-winning field goal to start the season off 1-0 that Randy Bullock missed. I saw that, and I was like, yeah, this guy can play. Then it hasn't gone very well for him. All three of these guys are in the same bucket as underachievers. But I think why I went Kyle Phillips is more because I think the change of offensive philosophy is a bigger deal for Phillips than it is for NPF and Raidens. Because it was such a, you talk about apples and oranges, Kyle Phillips is a wide receiver and the offense that Mike Vrabel wanted to run for the Titans, those things didn't fit. It's less of a, it's a change. It's a positive change for Raidens and NPF. But
yeah,
not
Bill Callahan is the guru, O-line guru that everybody's saying he is. They should be all-stars.
No, look, he can't. I know that Ron Slay is calling him offensive line Jesus, but let's just not say they're walking on water.
No, I think that's funny. Yeah, I say that in jest because I think this guy's going to sit here and like heal everyone. Yeah, and I just don't see that happening. But
yes, Jerome says, Austin, you can't say one person's mental can get coached, but another one can't. I just think it's the way that NPF got so down on himself.
Thank you, J-Row. That was my point to start.
But it was the pouting. It was the body language of him just looking just like he was.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what Kyle Phillips' body language was when he was a healthy scratch.
I mean, no, he was still out there going through practice and doing everything like he normally would have done. He was still talking about how he was getting better under the new special teams coach who was actually doing some things to tell him how that was going to be, how to catch punts better. So there's a lot of things. Here's another thing too. This new kickoff rule might help out Kyle Phillips. It's not going to do anything for Dylan Raidens or an NPF, but the new kickoff rule has been approved by the NFL. I will go through those rules here in a second. But first, I want to tell everybody about our great friends at the Bone and Joint Institute, boneandjointtn.org, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. Whenever you get hurt in life, you have to know where to go, who you can turn to. And the Bone and Joint Institute not only has all the experts right there in Franklin, but they have all the resources in one building under one roof at the Bone and Joint Institute off I-65 and Highway 96 in Franklin. It's so convenient, easy to get to from any type of direction of town that you're in. Middle Tennessee's destination for comprehensive and orthopedic sports medicine. Right there, they have the clinics, the surgery centers, the imaging, rehab facilities, state-of-the-art, all in one spot to make it easy for you. They also have clinics around Williamson County and expanding there too for your convenience. But boneandjointtn.org is where to book an appointment.
It is eSports. We are powered by BetMGM. This morning show is sponsored by BetMGM. We have been for the last number of years because we trust BetMGM. We love BetMGM. BetMGM won me a lot of money in Las Vegas. I like BetMGM. You can like BetMGM as well here in Tennessee by using the bonus code ATOZSports. That's ATOZSPORTS. You got March Madness. We are in the mix of it. You got really good games on the horizon, Austin. Everybody's like, man, I hate all this chalk. You're really going to like this chalk this weekend. This is the weekend when you get premier matchups. You even got UConn and San Diego State, a rematch of last year's championship game, which probably nobody remembers. Like, that's like the most differential of seeds, a one and a five. And so you get in on the action at BetMGM. Download the app today. Use the bonus code ATOZ Sports.
All right. So we've got a new kickoff rule in the NFL that has been approved. 29-3 was the voting. The Titans were one of the 29 yes votes to approve the new kickoff rule. Zach, before I share the details of the new rules, you want to play a guessing game real fast to see if you can figure out who you think were a part of the three that said no, they did not want to pass the new kickoff rule. Because I just saw them come out.
The three teams?
The three teams that did not approve the new kickoff rule that was overall approved.
I mean, I have no idea. I'll just say the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, the Eagles are usually trying to push stuff forward. It's crazy. The 49ers, the Raiders, and the Packers were the three anti this new rule. So 49ers, Raiders, and Packers were the three no votes. Here is the rule that Adam Hogue right here out of Chicago explained this. So touchbacks are penalized more. Most touchbacks will go to the 30-yard line. It encourages shorter kicks to return. So on the right side, you see the kickoff start line and the setup zone. So the kickoff team will be 10 yards away from the returning team players. The actual kickoff, the ball, will be at the same 35-yard line, but you see the setup zone being a lot closer, the condensed setup there to help limit big collisions at high speeds that have been gathered for 40 yards of sprinting. So 10 yards apart there, the play will begin when the ball either is caught by the return man, so those players can start running, or if the ball hits the ground. So the landing zone, which is the goal line to the 20-yard line, if the ball must be returned if caught within there. If it goes through the end zone after landing in that landing zone, it goes to the 20. If it goes through the end zone for a touchback, it could be returned or go to the 35-yard line. If the ball is kicked shorter of the 20-yard line, then it goes to the 40-yard line too. So there's a lot of things there.
It goes to the 40-yard line?
If the kickoff is short and does not make it to the landing zone, it automatically goes to the 40-yard line. So there's going to be more returns on this.
Eventually, like hits first or lands? Now, I guess it's got to be hit first. Hits at the 21, if it bounces at the 21, it's 40-yard line?
No, if it bounces and then is into the zone. Well, actually, I don't know if that's been specified yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, it's a brand new rule. So, But there's a lot of nuance to this. First thing that I'll say, and I am curious about what the chat has to say of thumbs up or thumbs down here in a second, but I don't like that it makes it look like the XFL. So, I don't like that, the look of it. Now, will time change that? Probably, where I'll just get numb to it. I do like that they've improved a play that was useless, right? Mm-hmm. It was starting to get useless. And we know that based on the Super Bowl. What are the odds of a touchback at the Super Bowl? It's like minus 400. It's not worth betting on, right? So when it's not worth betting on, and gambling comes into play, but it's not worth betting on, then maybe we need to take a look at it. They've tested this in other leagues. I like the concept of it. I don't know how it looks, and I've got to look a little bit closer at the nuances of these rules, because it sounds like there's nothing worse, Austin, than your dumbass kicker kicking it out of bounds and giving the offense starting at the 40, right? Yeah. We all agree. As a fan, if you're watching a game, you're like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Just kick it out of the end zone. Don't kick it out of bounds. So now it seems like there's going to be more opportunity for mistakes to happen where you start at the 30 or the 40. And with these type of offenses, that's now games will be like, we all know touchdown scored with 2 minutes, 15 seconds left. And the other team has one timeout, right? Now all of a sudden you start at the 40. The game is completely changed, you know, your approach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they're trying to create, it sounds like a catch 22 or, you know, one of those oxymorons of you're trying to create more returns, but make them safer plays, because there were over 1900 touchbacks in the NFL last year. There's like 270 games and like 1900 touchbacks. And that's a lot of touchbacks and a lot of worthless plays of just that are ceremonial, just kick it through the end zone and start at the 25. But I think the way, obviously, you're trying to create more of a line of scrimmage type contact zone to then set up like blocking. It's going to feel more like a run play to an extent than a kick return is the goal of this.
So let's ask this question, and then I have my opinion on why this at rule actually happened. I think there's a nuance to this, okay. But are you thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up or thumbs down on this rule? We've explained, if you want to throw that, we'll throw this up real quick, mm-hmm. of you can see a little bit, and it's explained as well as it kind of
It's a complicated thing to explain in a tweet, but yes.
But I think that the landing zone rules are very important. Austin, yes. Here is why I think truly they changed this rule and why the rule eventually got changed. They looked and they said the kickoff, out of all of the injuries and head injuries that are happening, the kickoff is accounting for quite a lot of them, right? Mm-hmm. In pro, college, and probably high school. I mean, probably all the way through. I think this is it. Who plays kickoff? You're 45, 43, 44 men on the roster, right? Those last guys. Those last guys are making $300,000 to $400,000. Mm-hmm. They're not insured the same way as the big-time players. I think that they looked around and they said, we have to change this because we're ruining these players' lives. And like their lives in a bunch. If you leave football after a year and a half because you were trying your hardest on kickoff and you got a career-ending head injury and out of it you got $450,000 for your life, that's called a lawsuit, brother. Like, you know, those are things waiting to happen. And so they changed it. They overcompensated and they killed the entire play. Now they're kind of coming back because that stat you said of how many
1900,
almost 2000 dead plays. All right, now we got to come back with this. So I like the evolution of this because they're learning as they go. They're not just shutting it down. I'm curious to see how it adapts to football and impacts the actual game at the end of the game. Because we don't give a darn about the first kickoff. We care about that kickoff with 2:15 left, and your team just took the lead by 3 points.
Yeah,
like that's what we care about.
Yeah, and so I'm thumbs up on this. I think it needed to happen. So look, in high school football, I had a lot of different jobs on the team. I did a bunch of different things. One of them was being on the kickoff return team. That was what I hated doing the most because you're standing there, the kick happens, you retreat 30 yards, you turn around, and you're like, all right, I got to get the fifth guy to the left, and he's got a 30-yard head start on my ass, and I'm about to get bulldozed, but I've got to do it. And that was in like 2006. And if people hated doing that 15, 20 years ago, then it needs to be changed for a long time. They've tried to create you can't have the wedge busters. You can't form a wedge to then you don't have kamikaze pilots flying down the field too to bust up the wedge. And so you're no crackbacks, no cross things to create lanes. None of that stuff can happen. But still, all it did was create more touchbacks and dead plays, like you mentioned. So I'm thumbs up on it. Obviously, it's going to look goofy because the kicker is going to be like 30 yards away from everybody else. It's going to look weird, but I think it's something – you've got to do something else. And this is the right type of approach to at least experiment with.
Well, and it's going to make special team coordinators more valuable, you know? And yes. I think also you saw, you know, special teams coach get canned in the middle of the year. I think you're going to see a lot more of that too. And Jake Barr brings up this, and it kind of, you know, imagine King Henry bringing the kickoff back. Will teams now look at it as just kind of like a play where at the end of the game, let's get Tony Pollard back there because we know he's a really good running back. And in those type of now situations that are closer together, he's much more valuable than what you're talking about where you're just running down, you know, diving at the sky. So I am also thumbs up, and I kind of explained it. I logically look at the progression of why and what they're doing. So that's why I'm thumbs up. I think there will be another stage. And after this year, probably a year from now, Austin, we'll be doing the show and being like, they needed to adapt this and this on the kickoff. And I'm glad they did.
I mean, MB brings this up, like Tyreek Hill, right? Like now you've got guys that are legitimate skill players that have return ability, big playability. You're talking about the kickoff one. All right, here you go. It's playoffs. And let's just say it's the Chiefs and the Dolphins again, right? But this time it's in Miami and not -4-degree weather.
Not people freezing their fingers off.
Patrick Mahomes just takes a 4-point lead with 2 minutes left in the game. Chiefs are kicking off to the Dolphins. They put Tyreek Hill back there. Now Harrison Butker and the Chiefs have to go, all right, do you kick it to Tyreek Hill in that landing zone where maybe you tackle him, or do you kick it through the end zone and just say, I'll let them start at the 35. You're making a football decision, a chess move decision on can you tackle Tyreek Hill before the 35-yard line, or do you kick it to the end zone and just say, we don't want Tyreek Hill to house this thing? I think there's now strategy is legit. And the Titans, Darius says, does this help the Titans or not? I have some opinions on this, on who I think the Titans have on the roster that could be a benefit with this new kickoff role. But first, and tell everybody about Krebs Kubota, KrebsKubota.com. They are an elite Kubota dealer, the best equipment and the best warranties in the industry with their connection with the Kubota brand nationally. Whenever you need equipment for your home, your projects around your property, your house, maybe it's commercial use, Krebs Kubota has not only the best stuff in the industry, but the best people in the industry to help you out and have the best customer service for you for that experience, because relationships are so crucial when it comes to the equipment industry, because it's a lot of money, it's big stuff, power, you're using a lot of force, things might break, you have to have warranties and you have to have people you can trust. And Krebs Kubota checks all the boxes for you. They've got 3 great locations across the mid-state. Started in Columbia over 18 years ago. They've since added Franklin and Murfreesboro to go along with Columbia. Online at KrebsKubota.com.
ASC Sports powered by BetMGM. Download the app today and use the bonus code for new users. ATOZSPORTS. All one word, no spaces. Download the BetMGM app today.
All right, so the new kickoff rule, Darius says, now this helps the Titans actually. And I don't know if he's responding to somebody else in the chat on YouTube or not, but I think the Titans have 2 players that fit the skill set that I think teams are looking for as guys who could be quality kick returners in this new kickoff rule. I think it's running backs because it feels like it's going to be set up more like a run play. And here's what I don't know is who's going to be the new return team. If the setup zone is within 10 yards, I think you're going to see tight ends being used. Maybe if you've got an athletic offensive lineman that can run a little bit, you can use them on your kick return team to actually set up running lanes and run blocking styles. And you want a running back who I think is a good decision maker and reader of blocks that can make a nice decision after catching the football. Because here's the other thing too, to remember, nobody moves until the ball is caught. And so I think Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard are perfect for the Titans to really utilize this rule change in their benefit.
One thing, I think this was asked in the chat, when is this rule going to be implemented? I assume this year, right? Immediately.
They passed it.
Darren brings up, can you prepare for an onside kick and then kick it deep? What I saw is that you have to declare. So you have to declare that you're doing an onside kick. So now you can't do the old Pat McAfee, right? Kick it, roll, yep, and jump on it after 10 yards. So that's going away. You have to declare that you're kicking an onside kick. And then I believe it goes back to a traditional onside kick.
Yes. And so Devin, you know, follows up my point about Spears and Pollard. Why would you risk the starting running backs on a return? Well, because now it's more of a valuable play. Like, that's the whole point, is that it's more like a carry and less like a kick return. It's situationally, maybe it's like we mentioned with Tyreek Hill, maybe the Titans have, you know, wide receiver 5 or 6 return the kickoffs in the first half, or the ones that don't meet as much, but in meaningful situations, you put, you know, Spears or Pollard back there. Tony Pollard was a good kick returner with the Cowboys. He hasn't done it in the last couple of years, but when Zeke was getting 1,400 yards rushing in a season, Tony Pollard was a pretty good option that the Cowboys had back there as a returner.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to draft differently. And running backs are becoming more valuable now, right? There was that era that they were, I mean, they're still kind of like that, right?
We'll see. I think the reason why running backs get more money in free agency this month is because the running back draft class is weak.
Yeah.
Because those guys. And
the free agency running back class was right,
big because everybody got franchise tag last year and Henry was on a deal. But the draft class is weak because running backs in college get big NIL money. And so they go back to school for another year, like your boy Judkins there at Ole Miss goes back to Ole Miss because he's a big player in Oxford, where he's a third round pick making, you know, a few million bucks over 4 years.
Well, no, what he does is he goes back to leverages that and then gets paid at Ohio State because that's where he is now.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. But regardless,
yeah. No. That's the point. Is like you forget about these players; they're moving so often because of the bag. Now, I do think that NIL will change here in the next several years. Like, you can't. The Wild Wild West needs to get a sheriff, and they got to figure that out. But yeah, it's definitely impacting things.
Yeah, and Greg Sankey's not doing himself any favors for the weekend that he had to become the college football sheriff. All right, let's get to throwing shade. I've got some airport shade. If you got something on your chest you want to get off your chest, it's time to throw shade to wrap up this Tuesday show. Shout out Wilson County Hyundai, WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Make them a part of your new car buying process by go seeing them in Lebanon. Say hey to Pain Bone when you do, because Wilson County Hyundai will help you save some money on that new ride in Lebanon or online at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shade day. I've got airport shade to share. Zach, you said you had a Curb Your Enthusiasm airport situation. So Darren starts us off with a shade at Shohei Ohtani not looking good.
I agree with that. And that is where, and look, you're playing American Major League Baseball. That is where a language barrier does hurt, because inflection and vigor and how you actually say it does matter of the perceived notion of society, right? And if there is a language barrier and your translator, your new translator, is now saying things with zero, just a mono, I never bet on that. It doesn't, we read things like that. And so skepticism, not fielding questions in America, that's a problem. We want to ask questions. We got reporters right? That's how our society works. And so I think that will continue to loom of Major League Baseball's biggest international product, which is Ohtani. That's not good.
All right, so there's a lot of shade on P. Diddy. I have no idea what's happening with P. Diddy.
Oh, you don't know what happened to P. Diddy yesterday?
No.
LA house was raided for sex trafficking.
Oh.
And then they tracked his, I've seen multiple reports on this, but he took his private jet. I think he flew out of the country, but then I saw something where he was in Miami. I don't know, but he's not anywhere near LA. But they hauled several people out of his L.A. home. And there's the internet's going crazy with the P. Diddy, R. Kelly, you know, dapping up, you know, when they see each other. I don't know what's going to play out, but not good look. Not a good look.
Yeah. There's also a really weird situation with former Vol Cam Sutton, who's still not turned himself in for his warrant for his arrest in Florida on some type of assault charges there. But so that strange situations. All right. More shade. There's a lot of P. Diddy comments going here, but Zach, let's see. I'm trying to find shade. There's some shade on your appearance.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'll take over this. Look, completely fair. And I have laughed, cackled, and enjoyed the comments of me getting drugged. I told my wife about it. She went through the comments. She was dying laughing yesterday. It is funny. I understand it. So I got two things. I can grow a beard pretty quick, so I'm not necessarily worried about that. The beard will come back sooner rather than later. I am growing my hair out, and as you know, you go through phases of growing your hair out. I am in a phase right now that doesn't look great. I will admit that. But you got to persevere. So I'm still sticking through. The funniest comment that I heard or I saw was Zach looks like Ron Burgundy in the morning and Ron Jeremy at night. I laughed at that. I thought that was funny. Ron Jeremy's a bad person. So, but the context of what it meant was funny. So I will applaud the shade being thrown on me. I find that humorous. I don't take that personally. So good job on the chat.
Yeah. I saw Hell Lady says throwing shade on John Calipari. Nobody does less with more. I laughed so hard when Kentucky goes down to Oakland and, you know, Kentucky's all this, you know, they can shoot, they can score, but they can't play defense. And you get a guy that goes out there and drops 10 threes over your head. And John Calipari is now, I mean, do you think this is a fireable offense for him?
No, I think that time heals all wounds in short time, really. They needed the vitriol of Kentucky pitchforks to kind of die down. And so there's still some animosity. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the athletic director, you got to look at who you're going to go after. And that's the hard part about the landscape of college basketball. Coach K's retired. Bill Self ain't going anywhere. Roy Williams is retired. There's not like this unbelievable coach. Usually like what Duke and North Carolina have done, they've hired with somebody that they know and trust and are a part of their family. There's not any of that. Dusty May, who is probably the most attractive coach from Florida Atlantic, which I watched a lot of Florida Atlantic games. I like Dusty May. Goes to Michigan, which I think is a good job. You know, he's going to get paid a lot of money. It's a big-time program. You got to think about who you're going to get to replace. I think he goes one more year, and they force him to change his ways and his approach.
Yeah. But man, it is phenomenal entertainment for what Kentucky fans are going through.
I mean, yeah. Anytime a fan base is, Alabama be like that this year in football? Because if, you know, it's hard to take over for Nick Saban. If they don't do well, we're going to see the same type of stuff that we're seeing from Kentucky with Alabama football fans, which we have not seen since 2006.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the reality is that Coach Cal is 1-4 in his last 5 NCAA tournament games, and you're not getting paid $11 million a year to get first-round NBA draft picks. Like, and I think that's the interesting thing. What's the goal for Kentucky? Because Coach Cal's like, I've helped out a lot of young kids fulfill
Final
their dreams.
Fours. That's their
like,
goal, yes, Final Fours.
Right, because, what is your job? Like, Hugh Freeze, his job is to win as many football games as he can, which is why Malik Willis is not ready for the NFL. Right, Coach Cal should be to win championships for Kentucky. That's his job, not to create a farm system for the NBA. He's not doing his job very well, and that's the reality, and he's being paid a lot. So my shade, Zach, is on airport security having different rules at the security lines in different airports. We just need to figure out how to have the same rules for the security lines. It's, I don't know, depending on the airport I'm at, like, does my carry-on rolling bag need to go in a bin, or does it go straight up on the
thing? No, it's in a bin.
No, not everywhere.
If you put it in a bin, if they have bins big enough to be put in, that's where it goes now.
But does my computer need its own bin outside of a bag? It's not consistent. Does the iPad need to be in it? Right. But sometimes, yes, it does.
You were told to take out your laptop?
Yes. I had to take my laptop out of my computer bag and put it in its own bin. So I had three bins. One for all my other stuff, one for my laptop, one for my roller bag. That was in one airport, where in Nashville, which I think is vastly improved airport, getting out of there is like the easiest thing in the world. All I need was one bin, roller bag right there on the thing, and you put everything else in one other bin, laptop, iPad, and all, the same thing. But my God, Charlotte, get it together. Because I had to damn near have four bins because I had to pull everything out individually. And it's just, why can't we have one system for everything? I know technology has changed a lot, but we got to get this thing figured out.
Now, here's I think you bring up a point of different rules, right? So like, I travel quite a bit. I have a carry and I do not check my bag. So I've got a carry-on and a laptop bag. I don't take my laptop out of my laptop case, but here's a curveball. I am TSA pre-check, so they may have different rules. I don't know what the regular system is. Do you have to take your liquids out at one point? Like, I mean, who knows? Like, so it is a little bit confusing of what that, but I've always not had to take my, I've never taken my laptop out of my bag.
I don't know whether it's Charleston, Charlotte, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, obviously Nashville, Philadelphia. I'm trying to think of all the different airports that I've been in the last like calendar year. I feel like every TSA lane has different rules for laptops. And I don't know which one. And then like, it's at least have a damn sign, like, right? I don't have to guess, because I'm going to guess, leave it in my bag and not have to get a third bin out. And so it's just annoying.
I did something annoying on the plane that I'm not proud of, but I had to because of the situation. I was leaving Vegas to Nashville, 8:50 a.m. flight. 8:50 a.m. flight is really a 10:50 here and that, and so my time system is all messed up. Do I eat breakfast? Do I eat lunch? It was it was awful. So they have a Jersey Mike's in the Las Vegas airport. Probably the best thing besides the slot. I don't even like the slot machines in the airport, but Jersey Mike's. So I get a Jersey Mike's to eat on the plane. But I wasn't going to go get like a big kahuna or like a Philly cheese. It was a turkey and cheese sub. Like, tried to simplify it. Not proud of myself because I don't like anybody eating on the plane. But what it did, I was flying with two other people that I knew, and I was in A, they were in B. So I wasn't going to save seats. I'm not like that. Like, if you want to sit there, you can go ahead and sit there. But it was going to be a full flight. I'd rather have those people sit next to me than, I won't say it, but bigger people sit next to me.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do? I put my Jersey Mike's sub right there on my lap. Nobody sat next to me for like 60 people. They just kept flowing by. So I think it's a pretty good strategy of, you don't necessarily have to eat it, but if you have the bag, they will not sit next to you because they don't want any, they don't know what you have in that bag. So I would ask you, I mean, let's do fair or foul, a turkey and cheese sub. No condiments. I got it dry because I was trying to respect people around. Fair or foul, eating on the plane like that. I think overall eating on the plane is thumbs down. I'm anti. I didn't go get Payway. I wasn't getting egg rolls out and dipping them in sweet and sour.
If you go Mike's way, that is the most foul thing you could possibly do.
I agree. There should be no onions. I went
no lettuce. Vinegar, no onions, right. Nothing that reeks. Look, right. I love it when we go to Jersey Mike's. I'm Mike's way all the way. But I understand that my house might smell like vinegar and onions for a couple of hours after I eat that sandwich if I bring it back home. So you can absolutely no onions, no vinegar. Okay. But if it's just flat out dry, then yeah, you can eat it.
Yeah, I did my part of going dry. So we got fair. We got some fairs. So thank you. I didn't feel because anytime you have a bag of food, I'm gonna keep walking. So
it's very specific. You don't have much wiggle room when it comes to that.
Here's my quick shade. It won't take long. The guy who ran into the Baltimore Bridge.
Oh my gosh.
There's my shade. Pretty easy. You can't do that because I don't even know the money of damage.
Out of respect to the people that are potentially still in the water there.
Like, were there the people on the, and I will say this, I saw it this morning. Were there people driving?
Yeah. They suspected that at least 20 cars were
on the bridge.
And that has to be the most terrifying thing that I could ever imagine. And I don't know if you've seen the video.
I screenshot it. So I did not know that there were people driving.
It was like 1:30 a.m. Eastern. So just like, again, not as many. It could have been worse, obviously, with the time of day. But, it's mile.
And it says construction workers are trapped as well. So, more news is coming out as they go. They got to get to the bottom of that, why that happened, right? Because cargo ships.
Power lost at least twice. Power lost as it was approaching the bridge, which then obviously there's no control over going where the cargo ship's supposed to go versus running into the bridge pillar. You think about any Final Destination type stuff come to life. And trying to think about what.
Do you jump off the ship?
Oh, I'm thinking about people on the damn bridge. Well, driving.
There's people everywhere. I think that's the whole thing. Is like everybody's in a different scenario. You've got
it was a cargo ship. I don't know the amount of people that were on that ship because it was a cargo ship, right? I'm not sure, but the being in a vehicle in that situation, just the most scary thing you could possibly think of. And then how quickly that bridge went down.
Unreal. I'm going to check on this because this may be a topic tomorrow. Trade deadline has been moved to Tuesday after week 9. So we'll give Lucas a little bit of credit. Way to go, Lucas. I had to fact check you, but trade deadline extended a week. Maybe we can talk about that tomorrow.
I think anybody that, always trying to figure out more of what's going on in Baltimore, but just the worst type of situation.
Yeah, I didn't realize the levity of it, to be honest. Oh, I saw the video, but you don't realize the people impacted. So, on that entire situation.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've never been to Baltimore, but apparently the bridge is over a mile long and just in seconds just falls. Pretty awful. So again, hopefully, I did see that some people were rescued from the water, and one guy was totally fine. Another was not totally fine, but rushed to the hospital. But we're trying to figure out, more. But something that you only hope to see in movies.
Yeah, that, again, the movie thing. That is literally a real life movie. It's crazy.
Yeah. Terrible. So we'll keep seeing how that situation plays out, more information that comes, but look, crazy show this morning, talking about a lot of different rule changes in the NFL, and we'll have more content that comes out of that. But if you haven't yet, hit that like button on Facebook and on YouTube, like the show before you go. More people need to like it. We've got way more people watching than have hit the like button. So if you haven't done it yet, please help us out on Facebook, on YouTube. tomorrow. Sam and Jack will be driving this thing, and we'll see what they come up with as more Titans content will come out of owners' meetings. Free agency continues. Mock drafts are getting refreshed here by the day. We'll check that again tomorrow morning. So we'll catch you guys later. Appreciate it as always.
Adios.